Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So if you had chicken over this 4th of July holiday weekend, I hope you're okay. Because Tyson Foods is recalling nearly 8.5 million pounds of chicken products that may be contaminated with Listeria. So if you're not feeling too well, that's why. The Food and Safety and Inspection Service, the FSIS, notified in June of two people who were sick with Listeriosis, an infection caused by Listeria. So an investigation was launched, and they identified three cases of the illness between April and June, and they revealed one person had died. So if you have fever, muscle aches, headache, stiff neck, confusion, loss of balance, convulsions, sometimes preceded by, you know, diarrhea and other gastrointestinal symptoms, the chicken products that you ate could have caused it. They include frozen, fully cooked chicken, such as Tyson pulled chicken breast, Tyson fully cooked diced grilled chicken breast with rib meat, Tyson fully cooked charbroiled boneless chicken meat for fajitas, and my favorite, more. Oh, man. 8.5 million pounds of chicken from Tyson. Wow. They were distributed across the United States to both retailers and facilities like hospitals, nursing homes, and schools. I hope and pray that you were not one of the people who ate some of the 8.5 million pounds of chicken from Tyson. But if you have some, you need to either dispose of it or return it wherever you bought it. Now, I would say, just a hint from me, you return it and get your money back. Don't just throw it away and lose the money. No way. But good luck. God bless for those of you having some of the Tyson Foods chicken that has been recalled. It was only 8.5 million pounds. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Tropical storm Elsa is on the way. She went across Cuba and is now bearing down on Florida, heading up the west coast of Florida, looking like it's going to make landfall north of Tampa Bay, but you never know, and it's going to swipe along the entire west coast. Now, it's possible that it continues, you know, it kind of veers left a little and continues farther north and then back east, but the cone of death has it tracking along the west coast of Florida and making landfall north of Tampa Bay and then cutting up across all the way down the, you know, east coast of the United States of America. So we'll see. I don't know if it will strengthen into a hurricane as it enters the Gulf of Mexico and starts trekking along the west coast of Florida, but it's affecting almost the entire state of Florida. Tomorrow and Wednesday are going to be tough days for Florida, depending on the strength of the storm and what happens along the coast. So if you're in Florida, I'm sure you're busy, putting things away. You probably spent the weekend putting things away and boarding up your windows in hopes that you are prepared for this storm. I hope you are. Preparedness is always the best. They're still searching in Surfside for people who, you know, were caught in the rubble and died. Right now we have 28 people who they have found in the rubble of the condominium in Surfside, Florida. Another 117 people remain unaccounted for, you know, and they're still searching and they're trying to search while the storm, they're getting gusts of wind and tropical storm gusts. So, you know, those, that search will be discontinued soon if they haven't discontinued it already because of the storm. And then those people may have to be shifted for to help other people who were hurt from the storm. So we'll see what happens after Elsa passes the state of Florida. But I found it interesting that they demolished the second building, or the, you know, the other part of the condominium in Florida. They demolished it this past weekend. Okay, so what happens to all those people? I mean, it's a little weird. I realized that, you know, the building was unsafe, and they were saying that the rubble from the one part of the building was holding up the other part of the building, so they needed to, you know, get rid of that building to go on with the search. But there were still, I saw one story where they were talking about, well, this lady had her cat in there and she never got to go back in to get her cat. And the rescue workers actually left milk and water on the balcony, but they never could get the cat out of there and they wouldn't let her go back and get it. And she went before a judge and the judge said no, which I found a little weird. But what about all the stuff? What happens to all of that? What happened? I mean, if I lived in that building is 40 years old. And I know these are questions that are going to be asked, but I mean, if I lived in that building, what about my stuff? I mean, we as Americans, you know, have stuff. And that stuff belongs to us that we paid our hard-earned money for. What happens to that? I mean, it's obviously gone now in the rubble on this building that collapsed because of something. We don't know why, whether it was a sinkhole, whether it was construction issues, whether it was maintenance issues. We have pretty good a theory, and there's a bunch of other theories out there, conspiracy theories on why this building collapsed. But now we went out of our way to collapse the rest of the building. And all of this stuff, what happens to the money that's owed to the banks? What happens to the people's living places? Where do they go? What do they do? I'm sure that, you know, their jobs still expect them to show up and do their jobs if they're employed. And if they're not employed, let's say you're a, you know, a 70-year-old man who was living in your condominium that you bought 30 years ago in a building that was built 40 years ago. You just paid it off. You're living on a fixed income. You have your furniture paid off, and you have your big inch TV screen that you planned on just staying in your condo and watching and going down to the pool every day. And then, you know, waiting your time out here on Earth in your paid off building, gone. Who pays for all that? What, where does all that go? Are we just putting everybody at zero? I guess I'm okay with it if we are. But are the banks and other credit card companies, are they just wiping that off their books? I mean, if I purchased a new furniture set, put it on my charge card, for example, and now it's just gone, why do I still have to pay for it? Am I still responsible for that? You demolished my building by either incompetence on the first part of the building or under safety concerns for the second part of the building. I was just amazed. And nobody's talking about it. I haven't heard anybody say anything about it. It's like, yeah, we had to down it. We had to destroy it. Okay. And I'm sorry that all these people, you know, I believe that it's now just a search mission. The search and rescue is probably over with. I don't think we're finding anyone who is, you know, alive in this rubble now, specifically, you know, particularly after we, you know, demolished the second part of that building. So we are just, you know, in a search mode for the bodies of these people. And it's horrible, just horrible. But what happened? What are we doing with the people that are left over? With their bills, where do they live? I'm just aghast at what is going to happen. I mean, I don't want to still pay for something that's not there. If I took out a loan and I'm paying a mortgage on this condo, am I still responsible for that? And now they're saying that multiple Miami area buildings have been evacuated. Oh, okay. Really? Yeah. there was structural damage to the building, and we it's not safe. You need to get out. What about everything around? It's tough. Get out. Okay. So can I go back in maybe, you know, one at a time and get my stuff? Are you going to help me move that stuff? No, we're just going to demolish your building. Oh, okay. So anyway, I struggled with that this whole weekend, this 4th of July weekend. We're celebrating independence, I know. And I love America and I love the USA. And this is this is the place to be on the planet. There's no question. But this is a problem. And I don't know who fixes it. I don't know who pays for it. I got a pretty good idea who's going to end up paying for it. And it's going to be you and me. But I mean, I guess I'm okay with it. I don't want these people left out in the cold. It's not necessarily their fault. Although the original plan, especially with this building, was put off. The maintenance was put off because they didn't want to either pay or charge the condominium owners and association the extra money that was needed for the upkeep on the building. So someone is kind of responsible for the neglect of the maintenance. I don't know. It's just it's going to be a long time to sort this one out. And what do these people do in the meantime? Do we just ship them in FEMA trailers somewhere in Florida? And I don't want to be in a FEMA trailer when the tropical storm or hurricane blows by, which one is happening right now as we speak throughout the state of Florida. So, okay. I mean, seriously, good luck, God bless. Seriously, good luck, God bless. You know, one of the other things that I'm doing now, and I've been doing for a while, is I've been listening to all these different murder podcasts. And I know a lot of people in my household do not appreciate all the murder podcasts that I'm listening to. I know it comes as a surprise. There are, graphic details, and I love them. So what I do is I put my Raycon wireless earbuds in. I know. That way, I'm just listening to the graphic details. And you can do that too. And whatever you listen to, your favorite music, your favorite shows, Raycon wireless earbuds is perfect for the time when you want to just listen to something great and you want it to be just you. Whether you're catching up on your favorite news podcast, you're binging an audiobook, you're powering through a workout, you've got your playlist playing, or you're listening to, murder podcasts. A pair of Raycons in your ears can make all the difference. No dangling wires or stems to get in your way. Raycons come in a range of stylish colors, always with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. Raycons are built to perform anywhere and anytime with water and sweat-resistant construction and Bluetooth that pairs quickly and seamlessly. And with enough battery life for 6 hours or more of playtime, you can unplug for a while, or actually you can, earbud plug, Ray-Ban wireless earbud plug for quite some time and enjoy what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, and it's all yours. The best part, Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone. Half the price of other premium audio brands. Right now, Raycon's offering 15% off all their products to my listeners right now, and here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Jeffy. That's it. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. So, it's not going to last forever, so I would go there now. Get 15% off your entire Raycon order. Feel free to grab a pair and a spare so everybody can listen to what they want to, when they want to, by themselves. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Jeffy. buyraycon.com/Jeffy. Enjoy the sounds of what you want to enjoy all to yourself with Raycon wireless earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/Jeffy. Get your 15% off your entire Raycon order right now. buyraycon.com/Jeffy.
Infinite matter and energy, we have been given consciousness to gaze upon it all and understand. What greater fortune have we to live in America, to stand side by side on the 4th of July, to behold this man? What greater fortune?
Yeah, that's right. What greater fortune? George Shea, with his introduction of Joey Chestnut at the July 4th Nathan's famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest. And he's the founder of the Major League Eating. We talked to him here on Chewing the Fat a year or so ago. He's just a really fascinating guy. But congratulations are in order to Joey Chestnut, who once again set a record and won the championship of 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. He downed 76 Franks and buns in 10 minutes. So he's the champion and sets another record. Just incredible. Just incredible. He now holds the top 10 spots all time on the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. He has 6 straight titles, and this is the 14th of his career. And it's gone up. I mean, in 2007, it was 66, and he's been working hard. So in 2021, this year, he breaks it with 76 hot dogs, wow, and buns in 10 minutes. Just amazing. I mean, the lady, Michelle Lesko, she won for the females with 30 3/4 dogs in 10 minutes. And her win, she said, was an amazing feeling. So anyway, congratulations to Joey Chestnut. He is a champion by any sense. I mean, I would love to say that I could be a speed eater competition like that, but I can't. I am a long distance eater. I know that. I'm like the Kenyan of eating. And to eat it, you know, fast like that with the speed eating, oh man, that's tough. I mean, you're not even really eating. You're just soaking it in water and downing them, just swallowing them whole like that. Wow. Joey Chestnut, congratulations on another tremendous 4th of July Nathan's hot dog eating contest. 76 dogs and buns in 10 minutes. Wow. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So good. I see where the Yale School of Drama announced a $150 million donation from David Geffen, you know, Mr. Entertainment Mogul. $150 million. That's going to make tuition free for current and future students. Oh, okay. And it's going to be renamed the David Geffen School of Drama at Yale. But heaven forbid that an actress pay money on the side to get her kid into college. But I'm sure if David, I don't know if David has any children, it's easy enough to find out. I'm sure they could be easy enough to go to Yale. Okay, so David, I apparently, he didn't have any children before 2007 when he came out as gay. He just, so remember, he sold his big Beverly Hills estate for $165 million. So the $150 million to Yale, no problem. He's got a couple of nieces that are, adults now. I mean, David is 78 now, which is, he's getting up there. He's worth $10.4 billion. So what do you think? Maybe you could give Yale, I don't know, a little bit more than $150 million, Dave? Now I'm pissed. Now I'm pissed he only gave $150 million. Did you see, also, another weird thing, man. Bill Cosby, all right? You know him, you love him. He, was let out of jail. And we covered all that here on Chewing the Fat. But it was reported, that he went to his house in Pennsylvania. And they showed his you know, family around him and lawyers and friends and keepers and handlers and all that. But nobody ever said, hey, here's the wife. Here's Camille. That's because she wasn't there. She didn't show up. And she didn't come back to the Pennsylvania house when he was freed. Now, I don't know where she was. I don't know if she was in New York City, if she was in their home in New York City, if she was in their home in Massachusetts, if she was in their home in California, but she wasn't in Pennsylvania. Now, apparently, she was in Massachusetts because Cosby flew to Massachusetts to be with the wife. Oh, okay, so he went to her in Massachusetts. So he got let out, went to the house in Pennsylvania. She was like, yeah, no, I'm not coming back there. I'm in Massachusetts right now, and, you know, come and see me when you're done with the meet and greet. Okay. All right. No problem. I know they're already floating ideas of him returning to comedy clubs. I doubt that will happen. Will he do some miscellaneous bits here and there? Probably. Does he go to a comedy club? I don't know. As far as I know, the man's having a tough time getting around. You know, they made a big deal about it. He was sleeping when they came and told him he was being let out. Well, yeah, he's in jail. What is he supposed to do? He's 80-some years old, the middle of, you know, hey, Bill, wake up, you're free. What? What are you talking about? Yeah, get up, get yourself squared away, we're letting you out of here today. Oh, okay, well, somebody let my wife know. Yeah, she's in Massachusetts, she's not coming. You can go back to the house in Pennsylvania, but the wife will catch up with you some other time. Oh, all right, no problem. And we talked about Harry going over to England to unveil Princess Diana, mom's statue with William. We talked about Charlie not being there. I'm sorry, Prince Charles not being there. The dad. I don't think the Queen showed up. They were just unveiling Diana's statue with his brother William. Well, first it was reported that Meghan might come with Archie and leave the baby back here in the States. That didn't happen. Of course, she wasn't going to come with just one kid. So she, and it was amazing that she let Harry go by himself. She stayed back with the two kids and the nanny or two. And then, so Harry went early because he had to quarantine, thanks to the rules, for 5 days. And he did. He got there early. He quarantined for 5 days, went out to the unveiling. And you thought, okay, well, maybe he goes out to lunch, has a little dinner with the brother and the grandma. Maybe he sees dad and we hang out and talk a little bit. Nope. Right to the airport and back to Meghan. You want to talk about a ball and chain being tight, man. That is it. Woo! Meghan was having none of that. Yeah, you can go. I know it's for your mom. It's a beautiful thing. And so, you know, you go and you be with your brother and you unveil your little cute little statue thing. And then you come right back home. Whoosh! She was on the mark, baby. And Harry was right there saying, yes, ma'am. So as of yesterday, Jeff Bezos no longer the CEO of Amazon. Okay, I don't know what changes. I mean, he founded the company back in 1994. He leaves the position as the richest person in the world, just with $199 billion. Wow. He just bought a $500 million super yacht. Oh, we got another story about a super yacht that I've got to tell you about. It looks like fun. According to this, which I hadn't seen before, Bezos' interest in space dates back to his teenage days when the high school valedictorian told the Miami Herald he wanted to build space hotels, amusement parks, and colonies for 2 or 3 million people who would be in orbit. Amazing, right? I mean, that's what he's doing. Incredible, if that's true. And so now he's headed to space very soon with Blue Origin. And so we'll see. I know he pledged his, $10 billion to climate-focused initiatives through the Bezos Earth Fund. Oh, that's great. And gave $2 billion to increase access to education and address homelessness through the Bezos Day One Fund. But his philanthropic endeavors have been overshadowed by the ex-wife, because Mackenzie signed that giving pledge where she talked about, you know, giving away all of their fortune before they died. Yeah, Jeff isn't signing that. I love you. That's a cute little thing. You and Bill and Warren are doing all together, talking about giving away the cash. But yeah, no, I'm going to build rocket ships. I got a girlfriend. I got a brother. No, I'm not giving it all away. It's mine. I got a super yacht to attend to. Don't worry about it, though. You go ahead and do that cute little thing that you do with your money if you want to give it all away. But the super yacht. So there's a new luxury super yacht being built for $593 million. Looking like, you know, I'm guessing it's going to come in at over $600 million. But for right now, they're saying, oh, no, it'll be $593 million upon completion. Don't you worry about it. Oh, okay. So now, and it's kind of, I mean, it looks like a cruise ship, really. They're calling it a super yacht, but it really is really a cruise ship. But you'll be able to buy suites on the super yacht. So it's like a super yacht condominium. And it has to be, it's a personal invite. You don't just think you're going to walk up and say, hey, I'll take a room, do you? Yeah, no. We will invite you. Oh, okay. Well, if I'm invited, how much do I get to spend? Well, it's going to start out at about $11 million a suite. That's it, though. Don't worry about it. It just, I mean, $11 million seems like a small price to pay. Now, I'm sure there's condo fees that you're going to have to work on. Now, investors, I guess you're going to have an opportunity, not just an option, we're giving you an opportunity to buy a home on one of six apartment decks, okay? And it's the features are going to depend on your selections. They can include a personal kitchen, a gym, a library, inside-outside dining spaces, dressing rooms. Full concierge services will be available for both sea and land-based needs. Oh, that's nice. The entire project coming in at $593 million. I bet you it's gonna be more than that. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know where they're going to sail, but apparently they're just going to sail all over the world. Really? Yeah. It's going to be a truly unique lifestyle at sea. Handpicked crew and never-ending global itinerary with carefully selected destinations and experiences befitting a yacht of this nature. Oh, okay. Well, where are you going to go? Well, we're going to go to the Mediterranean and to the South Pacific, or maybe a week in New York, or expeditions in Antarctica, but we're going to be out on the sea. So, and I'm sure that if you have, an $11 million dump on the first floor, because once you get up on the sixth floor, now you're talking about, no, you're not allowed up here. This is for the people who spent over $11 million on their condo. I guess, I don't know how many helipads it's going to have, helopads, places where you land the helicopter. But according to the drawing, it looks like you're going to have at least two places to land the helicopter. So if you have business to attend to, and let's say you're cruising the Mediterranean, you've got to get up. I mean, we'll just bring in a helicopter. And let's face it, if you're spending 11 to 20 million on a condo for this ship, a helicopter is a minor expense for you. But, unless you're Jeff Bezos and you're just building your own $500 million yacht, then it's like, no, I'm not going to be sailing with other dingleberries. This is mine, and I have all the amenities I need and all the concierge services I need. If I invite you on my ship, then you can come along. But until then, you can get on the new super yacht Somnino, S-O-M-N-I-O, the world's largest super yacht. So as you were sitting around over the holiday weekend, did you have an opportunity to watch any movies? Because I did. I watched The Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt, and I watched Greenland with, Gerard Butler. Now, both films were lacking a little a little something. But they were fun to watch. I had fun watching them, especially the Tomorrow War. And I know that took a hit. There were a lot of people that were talking about, I can't believe it's still jumping on the future, and, you know, I just can't believe it. And the one summarization of the Tomorrow War, aliens have the munchies, humans busy with divorce. Really funny. One person talked about how the words were being mispronounced. According to this person, James Rossiter, he watched the Tomorrow War, and the woman with the PhD in biotechnology with a focus on genomics would be more credible if she had pronounced genomics correctly. It's pronounced genomics, not genomics. Maybe that's the way it's pronounced now, okay? This woman was in 2051, okay? So maybe the word changed in pronunciation by the time we got to 2051. Okay, James? I mean, I like the whole idea of it, of the time travel and the jumping to the future, and then realizing, you know, when they came back, they can't get back, and it was... you know, it was who it belonged to. I could spoil it for you, but just know that they jumped to the future, and they barely have figured out how to jump to the future and have the technology and the ability to do it. So there's no jumping back or jumping forward. And when they jump to this particular time, that's where you're at, and you have 7 days. And in that 7-day time period, you come back no matter where you're at, as long as you have your wristband on. Well, it's an armband that they, you know, put it in you, that they make part of your body. But as long as you have that on, you're good. I would be venture to say I would like to have seen maybe an arm come back just for fun, you know, just an arm, a severed arm with the thing still attached till you see that come back. And that's the only thing, not the soldier, but. I digress. But it was a fun ride, and I enjoyed it. And, you know, I did enjoy the what's-his-face that plays Chris Pratt's father, J.K. Simmons. He played a fun part as Chris Pratt's father, and he's all pumped up. He's doing nothing but working out these days, looking all jacked. And it was a fun ride, so it's worth a watch, Tomorrow War. I think it was on Amazon. And then Greenland. I watched Greenland with Gerard Butler, and Scott Glenn was in that movie. And that movie, wow. They spent the box office was $52 million. Wait, how much did they spend on this movie? Okay, that explains a lot. They spent $35 million on this movie. And some of the effects were... That's my review of the effects on Greenland. Now, I like Gerard Butler. But this particular character was, it was okay. I mean, it's Gerard Butler, so you know what you're going to get. And there was a couple of really big, you know, great scenes with him that makes it a Gerard Butler movie. The premise of the movie is that asteroids are hitting the Earth, and the Earth is wiped out. And it opens up with, you know, they're landing, and you see Tampa get knocked out. And then you start seeing other places around the country getting knocked out. And then they realize that they've got to get to, say it with me, Greenland. And that's the struggle, and that's what they do. Now, that having been said, they've got a sick kid that they're dealing with, and the kid can't get on the evacuation. And he, of course, is on the list because he's a structural engineer. Huh. So, anyway, it was fun, but not as fun as the Tomorrow War. And there were several times in the movie I thought, well, that doesn't look real. And it's very, that's disheartening. But knowing that they spent $35 million on it, only $35 million on it, that does, you know, make it the reason why some of these scenes were like, well, that doesn't really look real. Yeah, that's because they didn't have the money for it. So I kind of like the premise and the idea of it. Other than that, that's on, what is Greenland on? I don't know what I watch Greenland on. Amazon or HBO. No, the Tomorrow War, Greenland is on HBO, I think. And the Tomorrow War is on Amazon. So there you have it. Those are two big shows I watched this weekend. Both, worth a ride, but Tomorrow War for sure more than Greenland. And, if you like Gerard Butler, and, you'll like Greenland just because of him. But, we'll see. Another movie that's out now is Zola. Now, I don't know if you know who Zola is or what Zola is, but it's a fascinating story. And it's all about these tweets at this Zola, this Asia king, Zola R. Moon, tweeted out back like 5 or 6 years ago. And she had this long thread of tweets about a story that she told on Twitter. And it starts out, the first tweet is, "Okay, listen up. This story long. So I met this white bitch at Hooters. I was her waitress. She came in with this old ass, big ass black dude." That was tweet one. So you get an idea of what the following, I don't know how many tweets there were, a lot. And I read them all. And then I heard my son sent me a reading of the tweets from this one YouTube channel, which was tremendous. I mean, not as good as my read could be. And it was really good. It was a really fun read and fun to listen to. So anyway, the movie is out. And it's got some pretty big stars in it. Coleman Domingo, you know him from, Fear the Walking Dead. And it's got some other actresses in there. And it's really funny. It takes place from Detroit to Tampa. And it's about stripping and dancing and fighting. I want to read you every tweet. I really do. I want to read you every tweet. I read you the first one. It gives you the idea. And it says, "So, as a Hooters girl, we have to talk to our customers. So I sit with them and we get to talking and she tells me she dances. So I'm like, yes, bitch, me too. Then she tells me this hulking black man is her sugar daddy. And I'm like, oh, yes, bitch, my SD at home. I feel it. Man, it is awesome. Now, it sounds real until you get to a certain point. All right, there's a certain point in the story, in the tweet thread, where you go, no, I don't think so. I don't believe that's real. But she says it's real. She claims it's real. All right, if you say so, then it's real. All right, you got it. I will say that it seems like the movie change some of the names up. So maybe they didn't get the rights to these other people that were mentioned in the tweet. But I mean, the one guy, according to the tweets, ends up in prison. So, I mean, what's he going to say? No? Anyway, they changed the names. But it'll be fun to see if they follow exactly what happened on the thread. And I'm sure there's going to be, some liberty taking with around the tweets of what happened, but it I must see this movie. I must see this movie. And if you haven't read the tweets, just find the tweet thread Zola from Asia King, and I may tweet it out just for fun. And it's a big guy thread, man. It's no doubt about that. It's a big guy thread, but well worth reading. And it's well worth listening to the read with the audio narration. Really good and really funny. And so it's worth it. It's worth it to get this story. It does make me want to see the movie. I don't know that it's going to be good. But it's going to be fun because stories come from anywhere, right? You just come up with the storyline and they come from anywhere. And this storyline happens to be from a tweet thread. Well, welcome to 2021. She tweeted this out in 2015. We've done a screenplay and we've made it into a movie. Okay, welcome to 2021. And it's kind of fun.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.
Did you see where a Pablo Picasso painting sold for $150,000, which seems, a little cheap, but it was in a closet in Maine for 50 years, right? It's a 16 by 16 which is, and the painting is really cool, and I would like to actually have it. The Lettricon. So it's in this closet, and it was belonged to this guy's aunt and grandmother or great aunt, and she was a professor of English history in Rutgers and lived in New York City, and she collected all these rare books and art and, you know, just threw them in the closet, I guess. And then it was later, the house was inherited by this person's father, and now it's inherited by him. And there's these several paintings that were dumped in a closet, just a Picasso, thrown in the closet. Yeah, I don't want that thing. I wasn't ever impressed with Pablo, you know, so whatever. So it's $150,000 up at auction, and it has 120 days to authenticate the painting with the Claude Picasso Administration, which is managed by the artist's son. Now, a Pablo Picasso found in a closet, $150,000 winning bid. Now, you're going to tell me that that's only worth $150,000, but you're going to now want me to believe that Hunter Biden's paintings are worth $500,000? No, thank you. I don't buy it. Now, I love the fact that there's these all kinds of critics now are just ripping his artwork apart. And one critic, and I know critics are just like me. We just criticize. But he really took Hunter to task over the artwork. And the last part of the story is he goes, other celebrities who are not artists by trade have successfully created and sold paintings. Sylvester Stallone has also displayed paintings in the galleries, and a much better painter than an actor. The Beatles' Paul McCartney and the Rolling Stones' Ronnie Wood create paintings that are objectively terrible. I don't begrudge Hunter or Sir Paul or Ronnie Wood for having an audience for their work or whatever odd little shows or publications they've appeared in. Good for them, I guess, and good for Mr. Biden. Everyone should be pushing brushes around, and if someone wants to pay you $500,000 for the results, cash the check. I mean, he just tears them apart. And in the end, he's like, if somebody wants to pay you $500,000 for it, go ahead, take it. But that's worth Hunter Biden worth $500,000, a Pablo Picasso worth $150,000. No, thank you. I don't believe it. Also, Andrew Cuomo's daughter, she has declared herself a demisexual. I know, you thought to yourself, wait, I thought she was bi. Yeah, me too, but no, she's a demisexual. D-E-M-I, sexual. S-E-X-U-A-L. The demisexual people only feel sexually attracted to someone when they have an emotional bond. Oh, okay. Yeah, she goes on to say, when I was in elementary school, I feared that I was a lesbian. Why would you fear that? When I was in middle school, I came out to my family and close friends as bisexual. When I was in high school, I discovered pansexuality and thought, that's the flag for me. And I've recently learned about demisexuality, and I believe that that identity resonates with me most. So I've finally figured out I'm not a lesbian, I'm not a bisexual, I'm not a pansexual, I'm a demisexual. And that's where I'm at, and I'm excited about it. She goes on to say that she always dreamed of a world in which nobody will have to come out because everybody's sexuality will be assumed fluid. But in a world that force feeds cisgender heterosexuality, coming out of the closet is a lifelong process of unpacking internalized social constructions and stigmas. Is it? Is it? Because I don't think so. I think we're already in a world where nobody has to come out because we don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're a lesbian. I don't care if you're a bisexual. I don't care if you're a pansexual. I don't care if you're a demisexual. Just do you, okay? You do you, boo. All right? That's okay. I believe we're already there. We have come, your dream has come true. Michaela Kennedy Cuomo, 23. Your dream has come true. Nobody was going to have to come out anymore. Because we're already there. We've assumed your sexuality is fluid. So congratulations. Congratulations. You have a dream that has come true. Man, that is nice. And I'm so happy, happy, happy for you. I mean that with every ounce of little being in me. I see where Britney Spears too, speaking of pansexual, demisexual, cisgender, lesbian. Anyway, her manager has now quit. So apparently he's saying, I quit, and the reports are that Britney is giving up music. We'll see what happens. I mean, there were more reports, just horrible reports, about her and her father and how he masterminded his daughter's life after she was taken to the psychiatric ward for mental health evaluations in 2008. The mom, who has since divorced the dad, said that she thought it was just going to be for a few months, and now it's been, 13 years or so. And there's one story in here. It says where she was in the hospital and the dad said, baby. And according to the story, I thought he was going to say, we love you, but you need help. No. A longtime family friend said that he said, baby, you're fat. Daddy's going to get you on a diet and a trainer and you're going to get back in shape. That's not even funny. That's not even funny, and yet I'm laughing because how bad is this guy with his own daughter? I mean, it talks about him hollering at her and the mother and calling them all kinds of huge bad names, calling her a terrible mother and a whore. I mean, holy cow, if that's true, it is an embarrassment that she does not have the rights over her own stuff. I don't care if she is loony as a jaybird. Is it loony as a jaybird? It's naked as a jaybird. Loony as a... Sure. I don't care if she's loony as a loony bird. It doesn't matter. It's her money. If she wants to throw it in the backyard and start a bonfire and burn it, go ahead. It's her money. I think we talked about this. I don't know. I remember not long. I just saw a video of some rapper that they were saying what a great guy he was and that he was throwing his money into the river off of a yacht. And everybody thought, oh, it's so cool. He's just making it rain money on the fish. Yeah, but Britney can't do that. Britney has to. She's fat and going to go on a diet from her dad. Okay. All right. No problem. Well, that's fine. Fine with me. You go ahead. But it's not right. All right, I'm going to get out of here. It's been a great day on Chewing the Fat. Thank you for listening, and be sure to email me, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. If you have any comments, you can always follow me on Twitter at JeffyJFR, and Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio, and so is Parler, if that's around. And I just signed up. I did finally get through to the new Getter, so I don't know that it's going to be worth anything, but I'm on there anyway. But here's a guess for you, all right? I want you to tell me, guess in your head, how much this house is, all right? So Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner have a house for sale in Encino in L.A. It's a 15,000-square-foot home, all right? It's on an acre of land, almost an acre of land. It's got 9 beds, 9.5 baths, okay? It's got a glass wall in the family room that opens to the backyard. It's got a twinkling donut chandelier in the master bedroom, a kitchen island with precisely, you know, the story says 1 million seats. It's not 1 million seats, but it's a lot. In fact, I got to look at the picture now. Okay, so the kitchen bar has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 along one side, and then you've got the kitchen table, which has 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 seats. And then you have the actual dining room table, which has 3, 4, 5, 10, 11, 12. So you've got plenty of seating in the Joe Jonas, Sophie Turner house throughout the dining areas. And then you've got plenty of seating in the family rooms and other entertaining rooms. How much you pay for it? How much you give them for it? No, don't joke around and tell me, you know, I'll give you $18. Just think in your head, how much would you pay for that house? All right, 15,000 square feet, almost an acre, in L.A., Encino neighborhood, 9 bedrooms, 9.5 baths, big backyard. We talked about the dining areas, master bedroom. How much you putting down for that? Huh? I'll tell you tomorrow. No, I'll tell you right now. $16.75 million. That's what they're asking for it. I'll get you into it today. $15 million cash. Guaranteed. Well, I mean, not guaranteed. But I'm sure if you walked up to that house right now and said, hey, Sophie, Joe, how you doing? Listen, all I have right now is $13 million cash. Can I get into this place? I bet you Sophie and Joe are in the car backing out of the driveway with the wheelbarrow full of cash in the trunk.